this idea.
This is a Freedom Feast, broadcasting from Podbay 2A a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 6,000 degrees Kelvin.
Wow.
To keep a sin flood of stages out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, James and Michael? Can you feel it?
Yeah. Cock-a-doodle-loo.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCON no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Woo!
So you guys should be proud of me. Instead of chomping,
I am proud of you.
Instead of chomping on popcorn, making a bunch of noise tonight, I'm eating beef jerky that I made myself.
Well, yeah, because that's. I think I'm going to issue a. I am proud of you, Yes, I'm going to issue a fatwa. No, I'm going to issue a, well, no, the American version of a fatwa. I'm issuing an executive order on the fiends that nobody can have crunchy food on the fiends. Okay? From now on.
Okay. And
no crunchy food.
I also have this vacuum sealer so I can seal it in plastic.
Yeah. No, you can only eat beef jerky out of a glass bowl from now on. I'm crunching a Jolly Rancher, or as we called him in grade school, gay farmer.
You know what? I think I go pour a bourbon and coke.
All right. No, ice. It makes noise.
Bourbon. Yeah. No ice. No ice.
Yeah. So. Are you really going away, Lou?
Don't try.
Are you going by?
I'll do that at the break, and maybe I'll put on some popcorn.
All right, so second sound check. How are you, James? How are you, Lou?
I'm good.
I am fine. How are you?
I am excellent. How are you, James?
I am good.
And this is me and James talking at the same time.
We are
so
talking.
That when you go listen to the LRN feed in 40 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is us. We're saying stuff to each other. Doing live on the radio sound checks. Oh yeah.
we're using our words.
Yep. Words.
And our worms.
Worms. So, how's things going, Lou?
Cold.
Cold? Enjoying your beef jerky?
I'm enjoying my beef jerky. This here is teriyaki beef. I just made this over the weekend. And no surprise, it's almost entirely gone. I only have a couple packages of it left.
How much did you make that you've already ate?
I made 3 pounds, and once you dehydrate, because what you're doing is you're taking the moisture out of there. You still have the same mass, but the weight.
Yes, I'm sound checking again because hang on. So yeah, okay, Lou, go ahead.
So anyway, the weight really disappears when you take the moisture out of there because it's a significant portion of moisture there. Mm-hmm. So the 3 pounds probably. Maybe winds up being a pound and a half, maybe 2 pounds, something like that. I'm not really sure, but.
Have you ever weighed it after you've made the jerky?
No, I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out how much weight is actually lost, how much moisture is in there.
Yeah, well, I recently picked up a book, and it's a book on canning and preserving. And it covers just all sorts of different things. Best way to freeze stuff, using vacuum sealers, actual pressure canning, how to make jellies. It's got like over 500 recipes in there. It's just all kinds of stuff. I'll probably be busy for the next year or so with that. But, it talks about how much moisture is in all these different things. I don't remember what it said about beef jerky, but I remember bananas were like, I don't know, maybe 80-some% moisture or water.
Yeah. I mean, you get dehydrated ones. Those things really turn out to be pretty much nothing.
I made some of those over the weekend, and I sliced them real thin, so they're kind of like banana-flavored potato chips.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a dehydrator, then, and that's what you use?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I have one that has four trays on it. It's circular. And I don't really like the fact that it's circular because it's got that hole in the center, and you can't put a bunch of jerky on there like if you had rectangular trays. So when I was up at Winterfest, I saw that Paul and Wynn have a 10-tray dehydrator, and it's got the rectangular trays, and you could probably do 9 pounds of jerky at a time in there.
That'd be a lot of jerky.
Pick one of those up. Yeah, that's a lot of jerky.
What's the process of making some jerky?
Well, it all depends. I made 6 pounds up at the Ritter's place, and with that, I just put some seasoning in there, and I let it sit for about 4 or 5 hours, maybe a little bit longer. I wasn't using one of the mix kits like you would get at the store or order off of the Freedom Fiends Amazon link.
Woo!
Which usually has, it's a combination of
I was almost going to cut you off and say, what is this, the beef jerky and Maserati repair show? But then you said, use the Freedom Fiends Amazon link, which you can find at freedomfiends.com. That bought you about 2 or 3 more minutes. Go ahead, Lou.
So you cut me off to tell me that you weren't going to cut me off. Thank you, Mike.
Yes.
But anyway, you just put the mixture in there and let it settle for a few hours. And then I have this little jerky gun. And it will put out these little...
Is that legal?
Yeah, it looks like a caulking gun. I'm going to get a tactical strap for it so I can put it over my chest.
And make an assault jerky gun?
Yeah, yeah. Quite possibly I might get a shoulder holster. I don't know.
Is it a jerky rifle or a jerky submachine gun?
It's a submachine gun. Yeah, it's very compact.
Is it full auto?
No, it's single shot.
Can it be converted to full auto, though?
One shot, yeah.
Oh, gosh, you'd really have to mess around with the springs and the gasket.
If you walk into a police station wearing it with a balaclava, what will happen?
They'll probably shoot your dog.
How about if you bring it into a police station with a baklava?
They'll probably shoot your dog and your jerky.
Okay.
That would be really tasty.
Dog jerky.
But anyway,
baklava.
Balaclavas.
I wish someone would come in wearing a baklava bringing me balaclava. I think I might have said that backwards. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna be drunk in about 20 minutes, so it's all good.
So get but it anyway, all out.
Yeah, so the jerky gun, it looks a lot like a caulking gun.
For the jerky
and
boys.
And you can do little round meat sticks, or you can do really wide strips, and you can even do the narrow strips. I have two different jerky guns. As a matter of fact, one of them I can use for making sausage. It'll fill sausage casings.
Wow. I think the name of this episode is going to be Full Auto Assault Jerky Gun.
Laugh all you want, Michael, but when the zombie apocalypse hits...
There's not going to be electricity to run your dehydrator.
Hey, I'm reading a book. I'm reading a zombie novel that has no zombies in it.
How does that work today?
And I realized it's a zombie book. It's this book called "Stop It, Lou." It's called "The Last Man Alive." "The Last Man Alive" by A.S. Neal, and it's a children's book from 1964. But it has like children with machine guns roaming the world, and very few people are left in the world, and they can
Is
go
that
into
the sequel
stores.
To Lord of the Flies.
It's kind of, well, it's like Lord of the Flies with two adults supervising, and they don't kill the adults. So pretty much, yeah. And but it's very much like a zombie story in that, you know, children are walking around fully armed, and they can walk into any store and take any provisions they need, and there are dangers lurking behind every tree, pretty much. In the form of dogs that have gone feral and started packs, and a few lions that have escaped from zoos.
Nice.
And a few people that are left alive, but yeah, it's pretty good.
So are they eating jerky or what?
They're eating whatever they can find. It's pretty good at first. Until you know all the food goes bad, and then they're basically, you know, it's like year three of a zombie apocalypse. They're eating possum and, you know, canned food.
Not too bad though.
Possum, yep. The other white meat.
So we're going to talk today. Well, let me say a couple short things to get them out of the way before we go into talking about the guys who walked into a police station with a fully automatic jerky gun. The jerkies who went into a police station with guns. Okay, so Oscar Knight, I want to do a shout out to Oscar Knight because he said something that really made me happy, was that the Freedom Fiends are the only media he's ever listened to, show, radio show, TV, whatever, that he likes listening to the ads and doesn't want to skip them. That's that's mission accomplished to me. That's what I'm going for. And I want to talk about Angie the creepy, Angie Boudouin. Is that her name? Boudouin. Yeah. I blocked her, and then she came back like a minute later and said, you know, I have other accounts. And I'm like, I blocked that one. And I'm like, so basically, I think that's the definition of a stalker, is someone who you block and they're like, no, you will listen to my thoughts. And, you know, the Freedom Fiends are Facebook on the radio. That's what you use syndicated radio for, is, you know, is one-on-one beefs and put them on internationally or nationally syndicated radio. That's why radio exists.
It's the whole reason.
Yep, yep. So, what else? You want to get into this? You want to get into this about these guys that went into the radio station, the police station?
May cause triggering.
Yeah, I mean, I've known people who've gone in police stations with guns. Like Derek J has done it, and it doesn't freak me out, or it's I don't think there's anything bad about it, you know, because he's gone in with a holstered sidearm, without a balaclava covering his face, and without being aggressive. You know, but these two guys...
He wasn't wearing body armor, and he didn't have his GoPro camera looking like the laser beam off of the Predator.
Yeah, that's funny.
I didn't even notice that that's what it looked like until you just said that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what that looked like, too.
That's why I'm here, because I think of the stuff that other people won't.
Yeah.
Oh, he did look like the Predator.
Bad touch, officer.
Yeah, that's one of them. I need to learn my app better so I can get to things really quickly.
Well, it's all bad touch, officer.
All alphabetical now. So
that helps, but it's still, you know, maybe it should just be one button with like infinite scrolling to get, because I have to remember like which category something's in.
Like a day or two after I downloaded the app, I was getting updates for it already. I'm like, come on.
I know. Well, that's how I work, but it's updated for now.
It's like government reforms.
Yeah, it's got, but it's, except this works better after each update. It's got 84 installs. That's pretty good. How's your app working?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
That's about $100. 0.01. Yeah.
0.018.
So you find the name of the other guy?
I'm looking.
Alright. So while we find this information, Lou had something funny. Tell me what's funny, Lou. Oh. Kill some time.
There's this Facebook post, and it's this hipster looking guy with this really cute girl, and they took a picture together. It looks like they're at a horse stable. But anyway, her little quote, and this may be like Instagram or something like that, she says, from Top Golf to dinner, flowers, ice cream, and horseback riding, you outdid yourself on this friend date, Daniel. You wanted to set a standard for how I should be treated, and you sure set a high one. I thank God so much they put an amazing friend like you in my life. Thank you for making me feel like a true princess. Hashtag still single, though.
Yeah.
So it's like they both need to start seeing other men.
You know, I was talking last week about vocal fry, when people talk like that. And something I forgot that's so blatant is, you know who has vocal fry is not just Valley girls and hipsters. Always, even if they don't want to have it, people on heroin have vocal fry all the time. And you can almost tell if someone has pinned eyes and vocal fry, and sounds whiny too. It's whiny vocal fry, but not like Kardashian whiny vocal fry, but I don't know.
More Jeff Spicoli? Ever,
yeah. Kind of like Spicoli, but he was just really high in pot. But any interview you've ever heard with Perry Farrell, he has it, the whiny junkie vocal fry. You saw it on some video too, but
should not.
I don't know. I don't watch videos. You saw it on some girl, but we're not gonna name names.
All people right. on lewds should not drive.
Yeah, the girl who I blocked, maybe.
Allegedly.
Yeah. People who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. All right, so did you find the name there, James, of the second co-conspirator?
It appears to be Brandon Vreeland.
Brandon Vreeland and James V. Baker. What'd they do? Show us on the doll where they touched the police.
Seems like they touched the police all over. Yeah. Or didn't touch the police at all and just triggered the police.
So what they do, triggering. For people who aren't reading what you're reading on Facebook, talk like, you know, what they're doing about people. So people
all right, so just a, was it last weekend, the two men, James V. Baker and Brandon Vreeland, apparently they got pulled over for driving around with tactical gear. And someone obviously
playing tactical gear,
full body armor. They're wearing full body armor.
I encourage people on this show to do good radio. And one of the things about doing good radio is assume the listeners have no idea what you're talking about. Like Bitcoin, we generally give a brief description of what Bitcoin is and then explain what happened with Bitcoin. But I wonder if we actually have to explain it. I mean, this is probably more for the podcast listeners because we're on a radio. This radio station, this radio network, there are ads for body armor in this show. So people might know what fully tacked, you know, tacked out means. So, but I'll just do it for people that don't know. They look like they're going into war. They were wearing balaclavas, you know, like face masks covering their whole head. They were wearing full body armor, visible outside their shirt. They had a GoPro camera on a monopod on their shoulders, looking like, what'd you say, Lou?
Oh, the Predator.
Yeah, looking like Predator from the movie Predator. And, you know, they looked like ISIS, or they looked like police, you know, raiding somebody. Now, I think that their point, and they were carrying... not assault rifles. They were carrying an AR, you know, not full auto, but an AR-15 and an AK-47.
Well, no, apparently it was actually something the guy had built himself from what I was reading.
What was?
The rifle that they confiscated.
Okay, now you know what? That's nitpicky stuff. I mean, I say I have an AK-47, and it's actually an AK-47 style rifle made in Yugoslavia, which is some other number derivation that I'm sure.
Well, that's what I would. That's what I wanted to laugh about. Something about that is because the media they reported the gun as an AP-14, which is what he had carved into the side of the gun.
Oh, that's funny.
He said he walked in with an AP-14, which is just what he carved in.
Now, I get what they were doing. They were basically like doing to police what police do to everybody, which is look tacticaled out and walk into your house.
Yeah.
You know, the police station, they call it their house. They consider it their house. If you walked into my house dressed like that, I'd shoot you or prone you out on the floor at gunpoint. I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they should be able to do something.
Nope. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
All right, so we're talking about these two clowns, James V. Baker, sounds like a preacher, and who's the other one? Is it James V. Baker? Am I getting these names right?
Yeah, and then was it Brandon Vreeland?
Which I've heard is James Baker's dad. I don't know if it's true, but the age differences look right. So
I didn't have allegedly ready.
They walked into police stations, into a police station wearing tactical gear. Now, here's the thing.
Don't try this at home.
Exactly. Here's the thing that didn't get reported a lot. So they walk into a police station looking like ISIS in Dearborn, Michigan, the town in America that has the largest Arab population.
Yeah, they did kind of dress exactly like ISIS in this.
It is the second largest Muslim population outside of the Middle East. Second
Where's
only
the first?
To
London?
Indonesia. By the way, Indonesia, a majority Muslim country, has elected a woman president, and so has Pakistan.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Progressive.
Granted, the one that got elected in Pakistan was assassinated, but...
I know. I remember that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. All right, so these guys started a GoFundMe to get back the camera that the police have, I guess, taken as evidence. Is that the story?
Yeah, everything was taken as police evidence. The cameras and all this stuff was taken, apparently.
Were the rifles taken?
The rifles were taken, apparently. They pretty much lost everything, from my understanding. They stripped them of all their armor and guns and cameras and all that.
So I think we did what we often do, which is, like, forget that we're not on the radio during the five-minute break, and, like, we did the whole story during the break. So there's some stuff we should probably repeat from that. I mean, you know, there's show prep during the break, and then there's just nonstop talking, like, practicing for radio, I guess. So there were a few details you said. What were they? AR-AP-14, what was that about?
Yeah, the police report, apparently the police report or something said that the gun was an AP-14 because the guy actually made his own lower with a 80% lower. He's a ghost gunner. So he made his own and put, you know, his own, what he wanted it to say, his own serial number, his own name for the thing, and he could put an AP-14 on there. So they put, you know, in this official report that it was an AP-14.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know, the news must have gotten it, the police report somehow, and I'm like, well, this is information you need to know if you're going to be on radio. If you're going to be a journalist, police reports are public information, and they are available to the news. Now, here's the thing with news agencies. They're available to the public eventually, to everybody, but they're available to news agencies immediately or near immediately that cooperate with with the police. And that is something that we talked about this last night. The police often threaten local or national news agencies with withdrawing that cooperation. You know, basically saying, if you don't comply, we're going to stop letting you be a mouthpiece for us. Which is why people like, you know, Ben Swan were controversial and hugely popular and got, I think he got paid to leave Fox. I don't think he got fired because it was cheaper to pay him to leave.
but I liked his spot he used to on Fox.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing. It was on. There's a lot of stuff that's like, wow, what a time to be alive these days. And one, another one, I'll just interject it here. I don't even know if we'll have time to talk about it. If we do, but if we don't, I'll just put it in here. This is mind-blowing to me. The Gorin, is that the judge? Who's the judge? Gorsh? That has been tapped for the Supreme Court by Trump. I kind of liked him as a judge, as judges go. You know, really, like, the Supreme Court nominations are the thing that presidents do the most that affect you for your life, basically. So I was kind of like wondering who it would be. And Gorsuch was not as bad as some. He was good on guns. He's good on some other stuff. And I like him even more now because he has guts and he has balls. And he has not yet been confirmed to the Supreme Court. And he's criticizing Trump. That's mind-blowing and unprecedented. He's saying that Trump is, you know, his word wasn't crazy. I don't remember the word. But, you know, like Trump is wrong for going after judges that disagree with him. So... wow, what a time to be alive. So back to, I was going to talk about Neem Vidati, who started this show with me. I turned him on to guns, and he started open carrying in Wyoming, and he was open carrying while doing his job as a news journalist for an ABC affiliate, like, you know, the TV news that covers half of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. He was the guy in the field and then on the TV with the suit at night, one of them. And he went to a crime scene, you know, got a call on the radio, went to the crime scene with his camera, and for the new, you know, as his news job, pulled up in the truck with the news company name on it, walked up to the chief of police in this town, open carrying with a mic, and tried to interview him. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Is that a loaded weapon, son?" And he was like, "Well, yes, but it's legal." And the guy's like, "I don't want to talk to you right now. Get away from me. Don't ever bring a gun to a crime scene again. You know, with your news truck." And then the chief of police called the head of that company and said, "If you ever have one of your journalists, you know, reporters come up to me with carrying a gun again, you're never going to speak to us again." And Nima almost got fired over it.
You know, the perfect solution, if the police department withdraws the cooperation, then you just have to go with what you have.
I know.
Maybe they're not going to get their side out.
He could go with, like, you know, Billy Bob, who he interviewed at his house, who's listening to Alex Jones, says, "All police are evil, especially these ones." Or, and you know, we interviewed the ex-wife of this policeman, and she said...
That would be great. That would be a great way to deal with having your, whatever the credentials are. Yeah.
Well, also, let's take a little bit further. Not only did Billy Bob and the guy's ex-wife, who happened to be the same person, not only did they say those things, but you just throw in, well, we called the police department. They did not offer comment, or they refused to comment. So apparently they're invoking their Fifth Amendment right.
They don't really have a Fifth Amendment right, though, unless they're arrested. So...
yeah, but the people watching the evening news aren't going to know that.
Don't know that, yeah. So back to this thing. So it's interesting. Some people might think it's hypocritical of me to like the fact that Neem Vidati was open carrying while gathering news. And I agree that he should have to stop if his boss tells him to stop, if he wants to keep his job. That's free market economics. And it's, you know, it's freedom of association. So... you know, I don't want a law passed where, you know, you can carry a gun at work and your boss gets fined if he doesn't let you. I'm not a liberal in my gun ownership. But I like that Nima did that, and I really don't like that these guys went into this police station. Although, you know, I gotta say it's entertainment, and if they keep doing it, they're gonna get murdered on camera. So I'm gonna keep watching their YouTube channel, which is mission. I don't want them killed. I just think, you know, hey, you know, have you guys ever seen the show Videodrome, made back in the day?
No, I don't think I have.
It was a sci-fi movie. It stars, let's see, who's the guy who likes little girls, allegedly?
Roman Polanski.
James Woods. James Woods likes very young women, and he's 68 or something. But
Donald Trump?
No, James Woods. You got your allegedly going there, Lou?
No, I'm pretty sure that's conclusive.
Oh, yeah, he likes women much younger than him. And then fires them when they turn like 45 or something.
Yeah,
you're fired.
But he doesn't pay the tariff to bring him over here, I don't suspect.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it stars Videodrome is James Woods and Deborah Harry, and it's you know, it's 1980, and it takes place in the not too distant future. And it's a, you know, TV station specializing in sensationalistic programming. This is way before cable or the internet or even cable TV was, before cable was popular. And, you know, it's basically like the guys trying to find, the reporters are trying to find more and more violent and sexual stuff to the point where I think, if I remember correctly, they're like paying people to kill themselves on TV and things like that. And I've, you know, I've always considered that kind of a prediction of the future, and it was made in the early 80s. And I think that's what it's gotten to. It's like, I don't think James Baker is an activist. I think he's a YouTube content creator who has, you know, 50,000 subscribers or something and wants more and probably makes a little money on ad links and is trying to create the most edgy content that'll get the most views. It's kind of like when Chris Cantwell, you know, I'm not even going to use allegedly on this. I'll say it. Got into a fight on the street with drunk people so he could pull a gun on them on video and get a half million views.
This is just a joke.
Yeah, it was just a joke that he did that. But I don't.
That
like
was just a joke. They got a 500,000 views.
Yeah, that too. So he got. There's a fundraiser for this, and I think the market has spoken. He's made like $100 in Bitcoin and some
not
like,
even
150. Yeah,
not even 100 in Bitcoin. He's made a grand total of probably about $200
with Bitcoin and the GoFundMe.
With Bitcoin and the GoFundMe, yeah.
And how much is he trying to make to replace this cheap GoPro camera he was wearing?
He's got a there's a 5,000. But to be fair, this one was set up by someone else, I believe. But the goal is a $5,000 goal. I don't believe he did not set this up. Someone else set up this GoFundMe for him. But it's got a $5,000 goal.
Yeah.
Hashtag,
doesn't matter who set it
please
up.
Please donate. You
know, often fundraisers make more money if they're set up by someone else on your behalf. You know, if it's legit and the people know each other and the person's actually going to give them money. Very often, if it's set up by somebody else, it makes more money for this kind of stuff because it seems less self-serving if it's set up by someone else, I think. Mm-hmm. It is. So if he made 150 with someone else doing it, he probably would have made half that setting it up himself. So the market has spoken. Nobody likes him.
Yeah, I'd say that's they're not putting people are supporting him on Facebook, but they're not putting their money where the mouth is.
And they're not money still where the pay the bills.
No. Nope.
Maybe those people should all go if they support him. They should go do what he did allegedly.
How many likes to get his stuff out of the evidence locker?
How many likes to get him out? That's funny.
How many likes are you charging for that?
That's funny.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolberts. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Lolberts podcast. Lolberts, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Lolberts, is from Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Lolberts. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Freedom Fiends. You know who else has vocal fry? People on Kratom. There it is. Not a guarantee. Don't try this at home. All right, so Lou, what did you say about your Ford truck?
Oh, I have an F-150, and I scribbled Ferrari in the dirt, salt, and mud, and crud on the side. And maybe the news media would like to purchase that Ferrari from me. I'm back, by the way.
All right, so I just sent you guys an email. I don't know if you got it, but it's hilarious, and we should read it. Oh, James, while you pull it up, did you have something else to say? You said something funny. I forget what.
No, I don't even know what you're... Okay. I don't know.
All right, so I guess the bottom line with me, with these guys, you know, we've had some fun making fun of them. The guys that went in, James Baker and... What's his name? Vanderhoot?
Something like that. Yeah. Vreeland.
Vreeland, who went into the police station all tacked out, all tacticaled up. First of all, I think they're... suicidal, because I think there's probably about a 1 in 4 chance they would have been killed by police doing this.
I really think that this was attempted suicide by cop.
It was. I mean, that's okay. You have a 1 in 6 chance of dying if you're playing Russian roulette, which is absolutely considered insane and suicidal. I would guess if they did this to 4 different police stations, eventually they'd get murdered or, you know, killed. I would say it's self-defense by the police. I'm not a fan of the police, but, you know.
Well, there is one thing that probably was preventing this from being a suicide by cop incident, is that the police are well aware of these guys.
Yeah.
These guys do this kind of stuff all the time out there.
I got that feeling that they knew him. They didn't call him by name, but they sounded kind of familiar the way they were yelling at him.
Yeah, they are.
It was kind of like how... where Chris Cantwell picked on some drunks on the street to start a fight so he could pull a gun on them. And he didn't know that the police were right around the corner and heard the yelling. And you could hear on the video, he drops the camera like these guys did. You don't see it. You hear it only. But, you know, they're like, Chris, drop the weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys, they had already notified the... you know, department that they were coming. So that's probably
they had.
Okay. They told the police department that they were coming to file a complaint. So the police were aware that they were coming. So, you know, but still, it's crazy to walk into a police station tacked out. I mean, carrying into a police station is one thing, but coming in complete tactical gear is just crazy.
Try this at home.
Tactical. Yep.
Thank you, MK. Oh, you know what's funny? You know the police site Police One, where we used to be able to read all the hilarious things of how the police really do want us murder us because, you know, it's a site for police and they have comments. And you have to prove you're a policeman to be able to comment on there, but you used to be able to read it. But now you can't. Now only police can read it. That'd be something for hackers to do. I'm not recommending, but it'd be pretty funny if someone hacked that site and just daily posted what the police are saying, you know, had a mirror of it. But there's this, you know, you look at the top, the links are like, you know, news, jobs, canine, whatever. Like one of the like 6 links at the top is tactical, which is, it's an insulting term. It means, you know, having a bunch of tactical stuff that you don't know how to use, pretty much.
Mom's basement as Feinstein.
Yeah. Mom's basement is Feinstein. What's that? I like it.
Mom's basement as Feinstein. So, like, when you got somebody that's all decked out and they got, like, the 12 different optics on their Derringer.
Yeah.
And they're all tactical. That would be so. The common phrase for that is operator AF. So, as Feinstein.
Like PEBCAC, problem exists between chair and keyboard for computers. Or as mechanics say, yeah, the only problem with this car is the nut behind the wheel.
Well, not all operating systems are loser-friendly, but we'll be back in the second hour.
Yeah, we're going to read some weird fiction someone wrote about the Women's March, like if it had worked. It's pretty funny.
If.
Yeah. Pull it up,
Joe. Who made the sandwiches?
I emailed it to you. All right.
Would you like a sandwich, mister?
Wait, first of all, you didn't see
sandwiches.
That's your Homer. I'm the kid in Bad Santa, which was Hubert Selby's favorite movie, by the way. So if you're playing the bingo board at home, Hubert Selby. Do you know about the bingo cards, the Fiends bingo cards, James?
No.
I talk about the same topics so often. Miller made bingo cards for, like, you know, the 16 topics I say. And when I mention one, you can say bingo, and people play at home. People actually play at home.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Oh, yeah, the Anarcho Capitalists. Yeah. Who's doing the intro? Yeah, but not yet, because that's been 10 seconds. Yeah.
I guess I can do it.
There you go.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit Kratom Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. Learn more at the back. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. That's how you know I'm doing this live, because I bleeped it all up. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Bleep it. We'll do it. Bleep. So I got one more thing about the dorks who went into a police station open carrying. You know, and like most people posting on the internet who aren't liberals about this, like. I went to post this and realized like 40 people had posted verbatim almost the same thing. I have several guns and I open carry sometimes, and I think these guys are idiots. There are literally dozens of comments that say that from dozens of people.
Yeah, there are. But there are a lot of that same comment.
Yeah, and that's my comment. So I'm not anti-gun. In fact, I carry a gun 100% of the time, often carry two, and have open carried. Haven't in a long time because I just think it's not tactically a great idea. I think you're more likely to get shot for, you know, I said this yesterday. I'll say it again in case people didn't hear it. I think you're, you know, if someone's just walking into gas stations to rob them to get drug money and they walk in and see a guy open carrying a gun, they'll probably leave and go across the street to the other gas station. But if they're walking somewhere where they're absolutely going to that place and, you know, very dedicated and semi-professional at least and know what they're doing and know what they're after, they're just going to shoot you in the head because you're just the guy with the gun. You're like the bank guard, you know?
Yeah, or if they're jonesing too.
Yeah. Yeah, so if they're jonesing hard enough that they don't want to walk across the street to the other, you know, the other gas station. Or let's say maybe, you know, the guy behind the counter is the inside man or something. You know, you never know. They're going to shoot the guy with the gun.
The problem with open carry is tactically, yes, you have to deal with the crazed lunatic, be it the dope sick junkie who's looking to score money for a fix, or
and
the
hasn't
cop.
Found Kratom.
Yeah, or the cop. Because, yeah, you know, like you're talking about with Nima going out to that crime scene in the news van, he goes out and he's open carrying, where it's completely legal out there, and that cop's like, get away from me with your Second Amendment, boy. We ain't got no room for that.
Yeah.
Go back to your own country. Texas.
Yep. Texas, yeah, where he went.
So, but also, I find, it, and these two would be a perfect example of this, I find that most, for the most part, when people open carry, the reason that they're open carrying is so that everybody can see it. It's political Richard waving.
Yeah, I stopped doing it because I was doing it for that reason, but also because when we moved to Wyoming, you have to live here 6 months. You know, we moved from California where open carry with a loaded weapon will get you killed. And put in prison. After they kill you, they'll put your corpse in prison. You know, people do workarounds.
Carrying a gun magazine will get you shot there.
Yeah, well, people try things like, I actually thought of this way years before I heard about activists doing that, of like, well, by my reading of the law, it's technically legal that I could carry the unloaded sidearm openly on one side and then carry the loaded holster on the other side legally. And then when the guy points the gun at me, I could say, wait, sir, give me a moment while I put it in. But I didn't do
that.
That's
what she said.
We just moved to Wyoming, where you can open carry, and concealed carry permits are on demand, and now you actually can conceal carry legally here without a permit. That happened after we moved here. But so the first 6 months we were here, I open carried because it was illegal. You know, I couldn't legally get a permit yet, so I open carried. And then I actually ran into, like, my neighbor, who was the garbage man at the time. He's retired because, you know, he's 40 and it's a government job. But he was the garbage man then, and he came over and shook my hand while I was unloading the truck and said, "Oh, I see you're open carrying." You know, in California, they would just call the police, but he's like, "Oh, you're open carrying." And I was like, "Yep." And I told him why, because he asked why. And he said, "Just put it in your pocket like the rest of us do." And I was like, "I don't have a permit yet." And he's like, "So?" And this is like a law-abiding, you know, good citizen kind of guy. He's actually moved out of the state now, but probably to Texas, which is where people move. So the one thing... the one other thing I want to say about this was Bam Magira or Majira. I don't know how you say his name, but he was a member of the show Jackass. Blogged. What did he say about the guys open carrying in the police station? Tacticaled out.
No, he called them idiots.
Yeah. So when the guy from Jackass calls you a jackass, you're probably a jackass. So I actually looked on, here and do a nice segue here. So I looked on Cody Wilson's Twitter, Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, who is a friend of the Fiends. He's been interviewed on here. I actually did the first I interviewed him the first interview he ever did before the printable gun happened, when it was just a plan. And, you know, so we're groundbreaking once in a while. We don't usually interview people, but I'll interview people if they're really interesting. You know, don't write me and say, "Hey, interview my friend. He's doing activism about blah, blah, blah." I mean, Lou even said, "Hey, do you want me to interview these guys that went into the bank? They don't live far from me. I could probably do it. You know, do you want me to get a recording of them for the show?" And I'm like, "No, not really, because A... I don't," and I'm saying this for all hosts listening and all people that would want to be interviewed and write me and say to interview me write me and say, "Interview my friend." We don't do interviews for a couple of reasons. One is it's always an audio nightmare, and it's harder than just doing our show the way we've perfected. And it's, you know, like if someone wants to talk about their product or whatever on our show, and I think it's cool, like they get offended if I'm like, "No, I don't want to have you on, but send me a press release and I'll read some of it." It's so much easier to do that. And it's actually going to sell probably more units or more views on your website than having you on, because people that aren't used to being on radio aren't really usually good on radio, and the audio is going to suck. And I'm going to have to spend an hour pre-gaming with you to get your audio to not suck. So it's not worth it. Secondly, I don't really want to co-sign those guys. And I think even having them on the show and saying they're dumb heads to their face, which I would do, you know, I would do in person. I don't want to waste time on it. And I kind of don't want to be connected with them, because I think there's a really good chance they're going to do something crazy at some point. And I don't want, you know, the news saying, "Oh, and he was a huge fan of the Freedom Fiend," or whatever, you know. I mean, you can't really control who listens to you. When people say, "Oh, and, you know, this person who killed these cops liked Alex Jones," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, but, you know, the Unabomber only had one book in his little cabin, and it was Al Gore's book about the environment. So you aren't what you read, necessarily." But that's truth. I like having you on because you laugh at my jokes. So anyway, moving on. So I looked on Cody Wilson's Twitter account, because he comments a lot on gun stuff. And he's definitely an extremist, and I like him. I like his extremism in that he's, you know, under investigation by the federal government openly and not hiding or ducking or stopping, and he's going on. The federal government. Yeah, the federal government sent him a cease and desist for, like, you know, posting the 3D CAD files online for his, like, crappy little barely works 3D gun. Yeah. You know, it's a great proof of concept, though, but it's not the gun you're going to take to a gunfight. And you could make a better, you know, gun with a nail and a toothpaste tube in your garage.
I have a very interesting story about that. I was like the main admin on the Freedom Fiends Facebook page at the time.
Yeah.
And I had posted an article about the State Department told him to knock it off. And it says, I think the headline that I put on there was government tells Cody Wilson to take down the plans from the internet or something like that. Take down the website. And within like a couple minutes of posting it, there's like at least a half dozen links to Pirate Bay to get the plans.
Yeah. Streisand once effect. Once it was on the internet, it's there forever.
Yeah. You know what Joe Rogan, before he was, you know, known for what he's known for now, was an actor who was basically Joe Rogan on the show News Radio. You remember that sitcom?
Yeah, with Great Phil show. Hartman and
yeah,
Stephen
and
a Root. Bunch
of people.
Dave Foley.
And there was one thing on there where, like, Candy Alexander was the actress, the black lady. I forget her character's name. She was like, you know, somebody put a Photoshop picture of her head on a Playboy model on the internet in 1997, I think this was. And she goes to Joe, like, and his name was Joe. His character's name was Joe on there. And he was the electrician for the radio station. And he was a conspiracy theorist. And he was a lot like Joe Rogan in a lot of ways. But she was like, Joe, get this off the internet. And he's like, man, internet, no, once it's on there, it's on there. And so trying to get it off, it's like taking pee out of a pool. That's pretty funny.
With a spoon.
I think I added the with a spoon. But so I looked, oh, yeah, the Freedom Fiends site where you're an admin, where what are half the most common question that's asked on that forum, Lou?
I don't remember.
I thought it's
what
about
is worms mean?
I thought that's the first most common.
Oh,
the second
did
most
Michael block me?
Yes, did Michael block me?
Why? Yeah, that's the most common message I get.
She had an autoresponder cut and paste for that. I'll write it. No, I won't, because if I block someone, I don't want to communicate with them. I don't want them to be like Angie Boudouin, who stalked me with a separate... That is stalky when you block somebody and they immediately come at you with another. That's like really not like that's they're basically saying that to them, free speech means you have to listen to my speech. It's a very liberal leftist ideology. But, you know, she has vocal fry and pinned eyes, allegedly.
She is a commie heroin addict. So.
Wait, hang on. Hang on.
I'm getting it out.
What'd you say, Lou? See, she's a what?
She's a commie heroin addict.
Allegedly.
I used to be Facebook friends with her, and I saw her crap on there. She talked about people have a right to food and water and all sorts of stuff. There should be starvation.
You've had her blocked for too long. She's gone alt-right now.
She's gone ought, right?
Yes.
Ought. What's that? German for not?
No, autistic right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Autistic screeching.
What's that from? That is hilarious. That mean.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
And we're back. And I thought we needed it. Yeah, yeah. Junkie squat. Junkie squat, one shoe at a time. So we're talking during the break about how junkies spot, especially speed freak junkies, squat your house one pair of boots at a time. They'll I don't let any drugs or drug addicts in my house anymore. But back in the day, I noticed this. Junkies will come to your house and hang out for a few hours, drug addicts of any kind, especially speed freaks, and they'll leave something, probably semi-intentionally. It's so they can come back. Like, they leave a pair of boots in your corner, and then, you know, since they're tweakers, they have a bag full of shoes, clothes and shoes they pulled out of dumpsters with them. And they'll leave something at your house, like in the corner, so they have a reason to come back. They're basically squatting your house one corner at a time. It's like a virus. Don't let it happen. So last segment was good radio in that I started it with, well, I want to talk about something I found on Cody Wilson's Twitter. We talked for 13 minutes, and I never got around to what was on his Twitter, and it was entertaining. That is good radio. As long as you don't forget to come back to the thing that you said that you were going to talk about. So what I was going to say is I went to his Twitter, and he always posts about gun stuff. I mean, he gets in, like, he's a hero of mine for one reason. He's someone I admire for a lot of reasons, but he's a hero of mine for one reason, is that he's been condemned by name on the floor of the U.S. Congress. And that's a goal of mine, and I'll probably never reach that goal. I have a theory too that the guys walking in, you could
if you tried hard enough.
We're still not even on the Soviet Policy Lie Center's hit list yet. We're not even a recognized hate group yet.
I gave up on that because they're really nasty, but they're really nasty, and, like, you know, people get their door kicked in from being on their list now. It used to just be amusing and good for donations, but actually
they won't give credit where credit's due.
It's bad for donations because the few extra people that'll donate because they think it's funny, less people will donate because they think it gets them on a government list, which it probably does. So Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, tweets about everything that's, like, high level in the papers, you know, that's known, well known, that's about guns. He chimes in with his comment on it pretty quickly usually. I mean, you know, when he's not getting in, like, beefs with high profile gun people by name, like, who was the British guy that was so pro-gun, pro anti-gun, that had a show in America on TV?
Oh, Pierce Brosnan, or yeah. Pierce Morgan.
Yeah, I think Cody
Wilson almost said the actor Pierce Brosnan. Yeah,
who I met in an elevator in France.
Yeah, when you're baked.
I was sober, and I had slept like 2 hours, and I was dropping things in the elevator. I was like carrying all my stuff going to the airport, and he was like, "Oh, I have a bit too much to drink last night, eh?" Because he thought I was, like, hammered and dropping stuff in the airport in the elevator. No, but I think Cody Wilson got in a face beef with Pierce Morgan. Like, he's that kind of level beefer on the Twitters, and I like that. But he hasn't mentioned this thing at all about the guys walking, the people that the guy in Jackass called a jackass. Now, I'm not going to make anything of that. I'm not going to speak for him and assume that, you know, this means anything. I think he's probably just busy. But he posted something and said, "Where was I going with this?" Which I think means something he thinks is amusing. Let's read this thing. We're going to have to clean it up on the fly on radio, called The Women's March. Who wants to read some of this? When you get tired, pass it off to the other guy. I need a break. Go ahead, James. You don't have it up?
Let's see. I had it up.
Lou, you got it, Lou?
No.
This is... Oh, man. I told you guys to have it up. Here it is. This is bad radio. You are bad radio people right now.
I was in a different tab. I had to find the right tab. All right.
You fast at this.
Yeah.
Bad touch.
The Women's March.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
All right. Go ahead.
Thanks, the Women's March worked. Trump was deposed. A pink, I don't know if I can say
kitty
that
cat,
on radio.
Kitty cat
a pink kitty cat hat, now president. Horny killers from Damascus welcomed at LAX by your girlfriend. Schools teach a Mexican. A new chief usury officer of Goldman Sachs is trans. Brianna Wu on the $100 bill. Eyes on the pyramid now. Lena Dunham's
butthole.
All pregnancies terminated. Late term abortions turn babies into pugs. Plowshares beat into social media brand management.
That's all right. We're going to avoid this when we come back. Thank you. That's the new thing, is they meow when I'm missing the break. Meow,
I
meow,
started
meow,
to meow a long time ago, by the way.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Wolbert's podcast. Wolbert's, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's, is from Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Meow! Meow! Meow!
All right, so before we go on to how Trump doesn't have enough stuff and wants to steal your stuff if you smoke a joint, because he needs more stuff, allegedly, apparently. We're gonna finish reading. And before I go, take a break for the rest of the show. We're gonna have James read the rest of this thing of if the woman's march had worked.
All right. Well, I got where we left here. All workers, now continuing on with the story from the last segment there. All workers sponsor content ambassadors for Huffington Post. Doritos knows Black Lives Matter. New Beyonce's kitty cat brought to you by Audi. Lyft pledges allegiance to Sharia. Hadith's made polyandrous slavery to blue-haired genders that OK Cupid knows no word for. Something to do with My Little Pony. All porn now clips of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Sheryl Sandberg merges with flesh NASA servers like an
NSA servers.
Oh, like NSA an angel server, fish. Yeah, like an angelfish. Stares back at you from the place you dare not to look. Honey Boo Boo's mom lost 200 pounds. Now, that's the most unbelievable part of this. You won't believe how gorgeous she is. She says in your inner voice, she says she is, what the heck? This doesn't make any sense. Like she this, is. Justin Trudeau's hot, soft hand on your back like your gym teacher who drank before noon.
Ew.
His robust yoga pants package crawling and awake. Angela Merkel's spindly tendons twitch as she palpitates your soylent incubation. What the heck?
Soylent incubation sack. We won, you guys. Pepsi stands against racism. There you go.
What the heck? Oh,
I have to commend you.
The wording in this.
I'm not even sure if half of this stuff could be said.
No, is the...
Not couldn't be said on radio, just can't be said. It was too difficultly worded, but...
It is terribly worded.
It's funny.
And the punctuation is just terrible. It doesn't make... None of this make... This is just horrible.
Well, the Women's March won, so there's no more proofreaders. They've all been fired.
I forgot grammar is actually just a sit... patriarchy.
Grammar
plot,
is fascism. Right? Fascism. Yeah.
It's that patriarchal plot.
Heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that. That.
You know what? After the Women's March was successful, they won and there was complete equality. Men now make 28% less than they made before.
Yep. And you know why grammar is fascism is because it's unfair. Pointing out bad grammar or even correcting it quietly is unfair to people who don't have good grammar. What's that book? Herger Bergeron, Lou?
Harrison Bergeron, yes.
Yeah, that's how you have good grammar. So, yeah, this is a really terrible story. Yeah, this is a really terrible story here.
Which one?
The Women's March story. None of it makes any sense.
Yeah, it's written very clunky, and I'm kind of glad you drew the shortest straw and had to read it. So I just deleted that email. It's gone. I'm not going to have to put up with it anymore. But and there's something I really would want to delete if I could, but I can't. And it's I'm looking at a clip. It's NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, and it's Trump, some woman with some badge-looking thing next to him, and then it's like some police commander from somewhere, I don't know. But anyway, some bigwig piggy. And they're talking about civil asset forfeiture, and it appears that there's a state senator down in Texas. I guess he's introduced legislation that this is really rough. I mean, this is really going to cripple the police, and it's, you know, really going to kind of like look something like the Bill of Rights. The legislation is going to require a conviction before civil asset forfeiture can be done. So before the police can just go in and steal everything and say, oh, that's mine, before they go in and anarcho-communize your life savings, they have to actually provide a conviction. You know, that due process crap that people talk about, you know, because this is a nation of laws, you know, and not just millions of laws, but, you know, actual legitimate laws and, you know, the propaganda. So anyway, they're talking about it, and Trump asks, he says, you know, who is the state senator? You want to give his name? We'll destroy his career. And the dumb old pig on there says, oh, yeah, I bet the cartels are going to be building a monument to this guy down in Mexico. No, the cartels are going to build monuments to the drug warriors like you, you dumbass, because the war on drugs is what makes the cartels in the first place. The war on drugs should be called No Cartel or Police Agency Left Behind, because just like prohibition of alcohol, you blithering idiots, there wouldn't be any cartels. It's a moneymaker because of illicit markets. So pull your head out of your Feinstein and just quit being douchebags. Sorry.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy that you have this. Trump is saying he's going to destroy the guy's career, and he's supposed to be like the. So this basically discredits everything that people say good about him. Anybody that says anything good about him, just by this as evidence alone, is wiped away. This guy is not on the side of the people. He wants the government to be able to come in without due process, without anything, just take your stuff. And yeah, we already see the how they use this. I mean, there's some police agencies in this nation that actually they have like a credit card reader so they can drain your bank account as part of civil asset forfeiture, like in their car while they pull you over, swipe your debit card and drain your account. They can do that. And that's what Trump's out here saying. Hey, we need to continue this more. We'll destroy the career of anyone who's against this kind of stuff, anyone who wants some kind of due process, wants a conviction before they can take your stuff, as is what's laid out in the Constitution. I thought all these people that supported, all these right-wingers were support the Constitution. That's like one of the amendments in there, is that you're not supposed to get your stuff taken without due process. That's one of those things in the Bill of Rights.
Well, I'm not a Trump supporter, but for the next couple of seconds, I'm going to play the part of one. Well, it sounds like you just like drug dealers more than you like the honest citizens of this country. If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't be getting your stuff confiscated.
Well, yes, I do like the drug dealers more than I like the people that support Trump. Thank you for noticing. At least they're honest people doing honest work in voluntary exchange. They're not out robbing people.
I'm fond of prostitutes, too, because when she sells a favor, it's her own to sell.
Right? This is absolutely crazy. There's just this, the quote from Trump here. Who is this state senator? Do you want to give his name? We'll destroy his career. Like, it's like diabolical. It's like something you'd see like Dr. Evil or something say. Not a joke bad guy. Who's a real bad guy? I don't know. Trump? Some Red Skull would say.
Red Skull, Orange Face.
Close enough.
Yeah. So, with the complete disregard for civil liberties and the due process that we're told is what separates us from being a third world banana republic, I guess the big thing is. The best way to describe the Trump show is this is a new season of Orange is the New Black. There's a new cast, but the plot line stays the same.
Yeah, that's what it is here. That's what it is. You know, this is absolutely crazy. This is just insane. To see this guy who people say, you have people out there that think this guy is some good guy, that he's going to make positive changes. And putting a move like this, trying to, you know, he's out there promising people that, oh, no, we're going to make sure that civil asset forfeiture is good and we're going to keep it rolling. I mean, that's not typically something you see on a right-wing candidate. You know, that's not typically something you see out of the right wing, is this support for, like, civil asset forfeiture, eminent domain, that kind of stuff. That's not typically something you see out of their side. This is like a whole new ballgame.
They do like the war on drugs, and they're not really that vocal about the civil asset forfeiture and all the crap that goes with it. I think the difference between Trump and most of the right wingers, because keep in mind it was Nixon that launched a war on drugs, and it was Reagan that escalated it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, really, a lot of this stuff has come out of Republicans and conservatives, right-wingers, whatever you want to call them. So, they're just usually not so vocal about it. But the thing is, you know, everybody was freaking out over Obama's pen and phone. Well, now Trump has the pen and the phone. So now the lefties are all freaking out. You know, all these right wingers are saying, hey, this is great. You know, Trump's creating this nice turnkey tyranny, you know, but he's going to be president forever or something like that. And you know, it's like everybody that was excited about the Patriot Act. And yes, there were bootlicking idiots out there that were excited about it. Now, what happens when it goes to somebody that you don't trust as much as George W. Bush? Oh, wait, you get Obama.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens. People will support when their side gets the stuff and then not like it when the other side does the same stuff. Like, I keep seeing you'll have Trump supporters that are saying, oh, you know, it's okay that Trump's doing this. Obama did it. Why are you mad about it? Obama did it. Obama did it first. Well, you know, that's the point. You guys didn't like it when Obama did it. Now Trump does it and you love it.
Well, when people use the excuse that says, well, Obama did it, oh, congratulations, so you're really happy about Obama's third term.
Right, exactly.
Because when Trump continues Obama's policies, it's Obama's third term. So, yeah, orange is the new black. Your Cheeto Jesus is Obama.
Which was really Bush's third and fourth term.
Yeah, so this is Bush's fifth term. Or George Washington's 90-something term. Yeah,
this is exactly. This is George Washington's 90-something term.
But let's take a step further. A lot of people got outraged when Obama signed the drone strike order for... not too many people freaked out over Anwar al-Awlaki getting droned. But he was a U.S. citizen, so he was probably the first... U.S. citizen that was targeted in a drone strike. But anyway, his son got killed. And then on Trump's first week in office, he says, oh, you missed one. Took out a little girl.
Yeah, killed his daughter.
Yeah.
Who was not even a teenager yet, to my understanding.
Right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, have you heard about BIPCoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPCoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPCoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPCoin BIPCoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, BIPCoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading BIPCoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining BIPCoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take BIPCoin for stickers and buttons. Go to BIPCoin.org. That's BIPCoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
So what kind of redemption do you have for the third act, James? You got anything?
I wish I did. What do we got to end on some kind of positive note, maybe? Let's
try. Or funny.
Or funny. Well, we could I don't really got any funny news. I got some interesting news we could talk about here.
Do tell.
We could talk about this flyer on this campus.
Okay.
That there was a flyer that was put out by some kind of weird organization. I'm not quite sure who, but they were referring to coded language that makes you a secret Nazi.
Is this written in the same format as the If the Woman's March Had Succeeded?
No, this is actually something that was apparently... I'm not sure if this was actually put out as satire, because sometimes you see these flyers, and they're satire, and it's not really something that was real, and people report on it and say it. But I'm not sure. But there was something that I kind of... it was really funny that they lumped all this stuff together.
Is this a Reason article?
Yeah, this is the Reason article. The flyer warns that violent and dangerous neo-Nazis use coded language like alt-right, which I understand, anarcho-capitalist, which, come on, no, men's rights activist, and make America great again. These are coded languages that means you're a Nazi. Furthermore, the flyer stated that opponents of free space or safe spaces, inclusivity, social justice, intersectional activism, and multiculturalism are opponents of liberty and equality for all. Such hateful rhetoric when, this is from the article, such hateful rhetoric when encountered should be reported to the university, according to the flyer. If you see, on the article, it says, if you see postings regarding the alt-right, anarcho-capitalist, white nationalists, or any other hate group, photograph the post for documentation and remove it illegally. Or immediately. I said illegally, remove it illegally. No, remove it immediately. You know,
illegally. That needs to be on Pocket Alibi. Illegally.
From the article, in addition to endorsing the censorship of certain non-liberal viewpoints, the flyer also asked students to contact their congressmen and urge them to vote against the confirmation of President Trump's cabinet picks. It includes a warning that those who remain neutral will be considered allies of the oppressors. So, of course, now I've seen the flyer. Article on Reason actually does not show the flyer.
Hang on. So, what you're saying is they're imitating George W. Bush, and they're saying, if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists.
Exactly. It really does. And the flyer actually has a guide to racist symbols. And, I mean... It's like they took this right out of the... I mean, these are racist... I mean, I'm not saying these aren't racist symbols. These are racist symbols. Like, for example, it lists 1488, which is, you know, is not... There is actually Nazi-coded language. But the thing that they're... What's confusing me is they're lumping of anarcho-capitalists in with, neo-Nazi-type people. And... I don't really care for that, because if you're anarcho anything, except maybe, you know, if you're anarcho anything, you're not a Nazi. That's just part of being a Nazi, is you're authoritarian.
Anarcho-Nazism.
Have you seen that troll page? That is funny.
No, I haven't. Oh my God.
That's a thing. That's all a right, thing. There's actually a troll page, anarcho-Nazism. That's a thing. It's a troll. It's not serious, people. Do not take it serious. It's like anarcho-monarchism. It doesn't really exist. It's a troll. But it does have a handy little guide for identifying neo-Nazi symbols. You know, stuff like swastikas. 1488, which stands for some kind of neo-Nazi saying, and then 88 for Heil Hitler, and stuff like that. But it's funny seeing this distributed on college campuses, including that, and then telling people to remove it and contact your senator and stuff like that. It's interesting to me. Any thoughts on this, Lou, before we're wrapping this up?
I, you know, a lot of this really came about from the SPLC article a while back, and Ben Swan actually picked up on this. I was very disappointed. And the Soviet Policy Lie Center basically described anybody to the right of Karl Marx as being the alt-right.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I know you're not an ANCAP and you don't, you know, you're probably not the most fond of them, but, you know, it's hard to be an anarchist and a Nazi. It's, you know, kind of like being short and tall.
Yeah, it can't be both.
So, yeah. You could try, though.